It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails and blog comments. Our show on the ethics of, quote, walking away from your mortgage brought in many emails from people who found themselves with underwater mortgages. One listener wrote, I live in Arizona and between 2004-2006 purchased three rentals and one owner-occupied house. With four children, we are upside down on all houses, including our primary. We have morally chosen to keep our obligations and have chosen to put energy and effort into building strong community in our neighborhood, recognizing we will all be here long-term together since homes are less than 50% value of purchase. We suffer as a family as a result of this decision. We have negative cash flow, about $1,000 per month, and live very frugally and decline our kids' extracurricular activities and vacations due to upholding all these mortgage obligations. I think we would suffer more in the negative credit implications as well as guilt if we were to default. We chose the harder, but we believe the right road in keeping to our obligations. That from Tamara in Phoenix, another listener came to a different conclusion. Carla in Sonoma wrote, if the banks didn't have homeowners over a barrel by threatening us with destroying our credit, this housing crisis would end more quickly. We have a credit score of 820 and are underwater on our mortgage in Northern California on which we put 20% down. We have upgraded this home to the tune of $80,000 since. Our only mistakes were that we bought our home during a bubble, 2005, and that we thought we were getting good advice from our loan officer about the type of loan offered to us, pick a payment. And the bank who agreed with the appraised value of our home at the time. By the way, we have been thinking of strategic default as an option for some time. We are completely okay with the moral issue and have no qualms about taking this route, despite our deep ties to the community and kids in school. After a powerful earthquake devastated Haiti, we talked to Haitians about their culture and about some misconceptions surrounding it as well. But Joanne in Sudbury objected to the use of a piece of tape airing Pat Robertson's comments about the country, saying, I am dismayed that TOTN dignified Pat Robertson's comment about Haiti's pact with the devil by airing it on the program. Even if the goal was to be provocative, and the guest made a terrifically articulate and appropriate response, this is not what I expected to hear on NPR. But Cherie, commenting on our website, was glad that we talked about more than Haiti's poverty and told us a little bit about the Haiti she knows. I'm so glad you went beyond Haiti is the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. Okay, we know that. But even with nothing and the odds stacked against them, Haitians remain steadfast and resilient. This too shall pass. Haiti is a pariah because it is one of the few black nations that take honest pride in its African roots. For a nation that has nothing, no infrastructure, and no reliable government, it still manages to survive. The people work hard, students fortunate enough to go to school flourish, parents do their best to raise the young and care for the old. They are God-fearing regardless of who that God might be. They are a good bunch of people who openly help to liberate others. Poor, yes, but with those things that come with a price tag. Integrity, pride, self-conviction are priceless and should not be termed poor by any means. Our languages, both of them, French and Creole, are rich. Our music, our food, the way we dance and sway, our expressions, be it of joy or sorrow, from our dark ebony tones to the fairest shades, we are rich. We'll continue to cover both the rich culture she describes in Haiti and the crisis, and we hope you'll continue to write to us. You can always reach us at talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lunn, David Gura, John Asante, Dahlia Martinez, and April Felling. Our editor is Barry Hardiman. This week, Scott Cameron is our senior producer. Sarah Handel is our associate producer. Beth Novi handled our web content today. Our intern is Dominic Ruiz Esparza. Gwen Uten directs the program. Ivan Burketh is our technical director. He gets engineering help from Nathan Bark, Jerry Tennant, and Kevin Waite. Talk of the Nation's theme music was composed by Greg Smith. Talk of the Nation's supervising senior producer is Carlene Watson. Sue Goodwin is the executive producer. The executive director of news programming is Ellen McDonald. Tomorrow, the political junkie is with us. All eyes are on Massachusetts. Join us for that tomorrow. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington.
Now you can get Talk of the Nation delivered to your inbox. Sign up and we'll send you a daily email about how to get into the conversation, what you missed, and our producers' picks for the best segments of the week. To sign up for the email newsletter, go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation, and scroll down to the newsletter sign-up box.